Welcome to episode 200 of The Numbers Game. I'm Jace. I'm here with Nick and Marty, and it's time to raise the bat. Not that I brought one in, but episode 200. Guys, how are we feeling? Up and about?
Well, the normal order is you go to Marty, so I'm just going to step out of the way. And
I'm just saying, that applause just then, like, that's I usually get that when I come home from work, but that is amazing to get that in a podcast. And Jace, we have been on about episode 100, episode 200, I think since episode 23.
Yep.
You get that excited about milestones. So how are you feeling?
Mate, I haven't slept all week. Nothing to do with the time zone change from Nashville back to Melbourne. I've just been in anticipation for this moment to be with you guys in person. I think it was episode 52, maybe, or no, not even, maybe episode 17, sorry. We went from live recording in the studio. COVID had hit. The world was a different place 3 years ago. Three, it must be about that. And then we went to remote, and I haven't seen you guys for 3 years, so it's been brilliant to get back in a room with you guys, and pretty excited about it.
And hasn't changed a bit, Marty.
No, he's great. Nick, you're well?
I'm good, yeah, happy to be here in the jungle. Feel like it's we're on set. I don't know, what's a reality show in the jungle? Does anyone know?
It's
Survivor.
I feel like we're on Survivor.
I'm not, a podcaster,
not,
get me out of here.
What's the jungle, get me out of here? Yeah, something jungle, yeah. Get me out of here.
Yeah, yeah, look. We're kind of D-grade celebrities, so I guess we fit.
Oh, yeah. D-grade's going on.
Speaking of clapping, I actually thought that was what you taught the whole Innovate team to do every time you entered work every day, Marty. You've taught the team they have to clap if they want to get there.
I'm very insecure, Jace. So for me, any form of validation or edification just lets me go the extra mile. So, yeah, I enjoyed that.
Well, look, just before we get cracked in, I know you guys have got heaps of stuff that, you know, I'm actually a bit concerned. I feel like I'm being set up here. But before we get stuck in, I'd like to do a massive shout out and a thank you to VidPod. They've been amazing support of the Numbers Game podcast. So we couldn't do what we do without the support of our amazing Tommy, our production team at VidPod. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll insert a really loud episode, our audience clap into this moment here. Tommy can do that back at the studio. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, quick thank you, obviously, the team at Future Advisory who aren't here. Obviously, they were really busy and couldn't make it to this recording. But thank you to Future Advisory for their support of allowing us to do this and the amazing team at Innovate. So we couldn't be here without the support of our teams. And a quick announcement straight off the bat of the success of our great man, Marty V. There's an announcement.
Where are we going?
There is an announcement to make that we've decided that after episode 200, we're going to do a rebrand of the podcast back to the Marty Vids Show.
Oh, wow.
Here's the star.
Who's that guy?
The influencer.
Who's that bloke? That's 2000 and... 2015, before people really knew about podcasts in Australia.
Well, you know, I feel like anyone who listens to the Numbers Game, just look up the Marty Vid Show. That's how you'll find us now.
What have I done to myself?
I started thinking like one of those AI corporate picks.
I tried to put it through AI and say, can you just, you know, try and get this to look more like Marty?
So can we get that back on the website, actually?
No, but it's been great. Hey, Marty, how are you, mate? You must be up and about.
No, I am. And I think, you know, like doing the Marty Vid Show originally, I learned a lot about podcasting, but I never thought it would actually play out in the finance game. So it's been great. And doing it on your own with guests were, you know, it was always interesting week to week, but actually doing it with two mates, that didn't come across good. But doing a podcast with two mates is fantastic. Just I guess we have a lot of jokes that we throw in, you know, when we're on the podcast, but also when we're behind the scenes too, we have a good laugh. And as we know, we just want to give great information out there to our audience. So, but again, a big well done to you two, because I still remember the edginess of the first podcast. You're all a little bit nervous and it was a new frontier, but they just went head on into it. So I had a bit of a flying start because I'd been through it. But these guys just took to it like water. So it's been good to have that camaraderie to bounce off as well. So,
not to mention your comedian career, which we're hoping to see some of tonight.
Yeah, well, that's sort of after the podcast we might let loose. So we'll see how we go. But it's been very enjoyable. So I've loved it, guys.
Oh, very good. Well, again, exciting to be here. I think what we're going to crack into first is a bit of an opener from you, Marty. You've got some numbers that you wanted to go through with us.
Yeah, well, I thought it's been 3 years. So I was thinking back to where were we in 2021? And this might ring a few bells. Like, the RBA said no rate increases until 2024. So didn't that just hold up? I think we had 12, about 4% higher.
Not so good.
So incredible. Now, Berkshire Hathaway, B-share. I mean, yeah, not that I'm giving any financial advice, but it was $250 back in March when we started 2021, now $446. So 78% increase. Like I said, don't do what I do, but take note. Elon Musk was worth $219 billion and is now worth $248 billion and is still not in jail, Nick.
That was a bold prediction. Was that Jace or...?
No, that wasn't a prediction. That's just the reality of the situation. But he is not in jail. You thought he'd be in jail. Do you think, is this sort of coming into your predictions for next year?
I think there's more chance now than ever that he could be in jail. Well, he's threatening Mark Zuckerberg with violence. We're close. I think we're close.
I think we're at a point we're going to have to come in with a rule that you can't keep rolling the same prediction every year. So I'm actually going to change. Marty and I have had a similar prediction for the last 20 years, and that was that the Bombers would win a final. So I think Marty and I might go with a bold new prediction that the Bombers won't win a final, yes. And maybe we'll get lucky because I'm feeling pretty depressed about the
season. It's funny you brought
that
up. I said for 17 years we hadn't won a final when we started the podcast, and I think that could be the next 30 years the way we're going. But this is an eye opener. Average petrol price, $1.29 when we started the podcast.
No way.
Now on average, $1.86.
Wow.
So, you know, just shorten. That's why people are working from home. That's what I'm thinking here. And eggs, a dozen eggs in 2021, $4, and now $7 to $8. So I don't understand that because they're saying people aren't eating as much chicken.
So there should be more eggs. Yes.
So I don't understand. Is there some sort of bird flu?
Are you sure you haven't just slipped in the organic aisle and free range maybe?
Well,
look
at me.
Do I look organic? I mean, really. So, yeah, it just takes you back to 2021 and how times have changed. And we went through a pandemic. We've come through the other side and feeling good about things, I think. I hope.
It's good.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, I like it, Marty. I think those stats, I mean, I don't know if now's the time you want to make some bold predictions for the future, but they're very eye-opening. I also, you know, turning it back on the Numbers Game podcast, you had some awesome numbers that, you know, because if I haven't talked about getting to episode 200 for the last 150 to 170 episodes, I'm now going to start talking about getting to episode 300. Only 3% of podcasters have ever make it to the 300th episode.
That's so right. 15% to 200, which is, you know, small amount, but 3% to 300. So we should start really getting excited about that at 202, I think, Jace.
Sure, what do you think? I'm not going to say
No, don't start.
Not going to start.
I know where you're going with that.
I do?
Yeah, I think I do. Yeah.
You've been quiet, Nick. How are you, mate?
Oh, I'm just going to get off the serious stuff. If you boys would hurry up, and I've got some.
Well, you go with your stuff.
I feel like Nick's on edge. For those playing at home, Nick's on edge. I've seen him just kind of get edgier to the closer to the edge of his
Nick
chair.
Nick has been working really very hard on this all day, so I'm interested to see what he comes
now
up.
Yeah, you've made me nervous.
I'm out of here. I'm going. Go. What have you got?
Well, just to get away, we break the numbers up, I reckon.
Okay.
And so Tommy, our fabulous producer, I said, what content, what do we do? He said, I'll just go back through the past reels and, you know, see what you were suggesting in 2021 and 2022. And I couldn't help but notice the demise of your dress sense from episode one.
As I rolled in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Mate, you've actually, I feel like maybe you've hit the bottom and you're starting to go back up. I think you're on the way back up with this. So
don't pan down flicking below through the waist right now.
We're one step off a cowboy hat today.
I was just
flicking
through the rules and the reels and I couldn't help but notice. But so this is early days.
Wow.
In the podcast studio. Geez.
For our listeners,
Jason Robinson.
A suit, an open neck shirt.
So
hair
that's a pocket square if anyone doesn't know. So that's, you know, if you're not wearing a tie, then the next best thing is a pocket square. So probably the best dressed guy on set.
Yeah, you could see why his business got off to a flyer.
Yeah.
Like beautifully dressed.
Yeah.
You know, met the market. Ooh.
What
year is this?
2022. So this would have been 12 months in.
Wow.
Pretty professional.
Yeah.
That's home office.
Jacket's
vibes.
Gone.
Yep.
Pocket square's gone. Collar, buttons. So not too bad. That's probably what I wear most episodes. So I can't say too much about that.
Down a level, but down good. But good.
Probably somewhere in between Marty and I would have thought.
Professional. Smart, sort of casual professional, I would say.
Fast forward 12 months and just starts we start seeing branding everywhere from Jax. So whether it's whether it's Dashboard Insights or Future or Zero or someone else he's promoting, one of his numerous liquor brands or pay.com, but
Coffco if you need some coffee for those.
So, but still okay. It's probably what you'd expect in this office on a Friday. No collar, but nice jumper, ready to go.
Can I just also throw in, I'm still upset that you wear the Future Advisory jumper for gardening, for when you make meat, when you go to the family meat day and you're making meat. I've seen the Future Advisory jumper on, and Greg also messaged me. Greg messaged, he goes, why did we give Nick a jumper if all he does is do the gardening with it? So
it's versatile. Have you got any idea what the next photo is?
Nah, I feel like there could be, I don't know, a hangover, a hat, don't know. Just hit me with it.
This is the most recent one I could find. So this is 2024.
Is that a flanny?
So this is this is Jace's lumberjack look.
Yeah.
I think it's lumberjack. It could be surfy.
He
did grow up in surf stores. So
yeah, working at a surf shop. I
what were
actually,
you going
I
for?
Bought that in Bansdale at the surf shop there. Bansdale. I'm saying that all right. So I think I don't know what we're out there for, but I wanted a flanny.
It's interesting.
It was the Nashville vibe, but then I realized Nashville was 35 degrees every day and that thing's thick as all hell. So I'm like, couldn't take it there.
So the Nashville vibe with an LA cap?
Yeah. Well, I flew into LA. So, you know, there's a thought process behind all this, Nick.
Okay. I like how you've gone the brand Nike underneath with the lumberjack on top.
Another sponsorship opportunity.
That was, it's sort of smooth and unique to you. So
Shoe Dog is one of my favourite books, if we're going to come back to a bit of value
great
add
book.
For those playing at home. Shoe Dog.
Great book.
So anyway, that's all I've got. But looking forward to seeing what 2025 brings. But I can definitely say you've hit the bottom and you're on the way back up. So I think this is the start of,
The bottom.
I think the
lumberjack looks not for you.
In 2025, it'll be just jocks and a necklace the way you're going. So just make sure you keep something on there.
You look like you've gone back to Morty Surf and asked for another job.
I'm just upset because I'm not as trendy.
No.
100%.
Over to you, Marty.
Well, let's get into some property prices in 2021 and just see what's happened on the medium house price, just to give you some perspective. So Perth medium house price, $525 up to $680, up by 29%. Brisbane house price is up from $678 to $937, up 38%. Melbourne house price, $1.022 million to $1.032 million. That's 0.97% increase. Sydney, $1.6 million to $1.66 million, so 3.75% increase. Adelaide, $520 to $785, that's a 50% increase. And Tasmania, $460 to $680, 47% increase. So incredible.
I'm going to get in there straight away. I looked at some numbers before the show as well. So on YouTube, which we've got some data around that. We love our numbers. It'll come later. But one of the most watched episodes on there at the moment is Melbourne's house price about to boom? So looking at those numbers, you've said, 29% up in Perth, 38% up in Brisbane, 50% up in Adelaide, 48% up in Tassie, 0.1% in Melbourne over that time.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden when, you unpack the numbers, we're numbers people, we like our data. That starts to make a lot of sense that maybe Melbourne is due for a bit of a run on the property prices.
Well, I think the other number that's interesting is the average home loan that's out. In 2021, it was 596, and now in 2024, it's 627. So there's only a 5.2% increase. So what you found is people are buying where they can afford, and they've gone to Brisbane, they've gone to Perth, they've gone to Adelaide, Tassie. So we've had these spikes, but now that they've all risen, if we get a rate reduction and a bit more buoyancy in the market, there's definitely demand on what we see at the front end of people wanting to buy, and they will get back into Melbourne. So I'm expecting a really good increase in property prices in Melbourne.
Well, I'll give you another stat that I read yesterday, that Melbourne is the only state where the housing affordability has gone up since COVID or since the pandemic.
Yeah, wow.
So when you bring in rent, mortgage repayments and whatnot, it's actually cheaper to be, from a percentage point of view, in comparison to your income. Melbourne's cheaper than what it was pre-pandemic. Every other state is more expensive.
Yeah, they
so
said
it's becoming more affordable.
Yeah, from a cost of living point of view, Melbourne is the most affordable city. Yep. So who would have thought?
Yeah.
The other thing that I wanted to bring up is mortgage. In 2021, on a $750,000 mortgage at 2%, your repayment over 30 years was $2,782. In 2024, it's at 6.2% at $4,594. So that's an increase on repayments, monthly repayments of $1,812, 65% increase. That is enormous.
It's enormous.
And if I sort of look at the trend of rents, you're looking at rents in 2021, 437 per week. So annualized, that's 22,700. And the medium rent value has ticked up to 610 per week as of last month. So that's 31,720 a year. So rents are up around about 8,996 on average. So that's a 22% increase over the last 3 years. But when you look at the mortgages at, you know, you're looking at 65% increase compared to rents at 22. But people are going, rents are really high. But when you think of landlords, you go, well, they've virtually gone up triple to that increase on rents as well. So it's certainly gone up. But again, pressure on landlords and why a lot of investors are selling in Melbourne as well recently. Yeah. So it's a fascinating number.
Yeah, and we've probably asked for the prediction before, but do you see rate reductions or you think they're going to hold still?
I'm going rate reduction, first one in Feb 2025 and then one in May, but that's the only two for the year.
There's some shaking heads in the audience.
This is purely opinion. This is purely opinion. But I think
and this comes from the same guy who said no rate rises until 2024 and we had 12. So,
Okay. So just on that, I'm going to butt in here because you're picking on my mate Marty. And
I felt targeted. I've got my back up a bit, but go on.
So again, I went back through the numbers game archives. Don't worry, you're safe at the moment.
Good.
Not for long though. And recently, Marty broke the internet. I can't remember what it was for. What was the topic?
It was talking about the cost of living, but then it was the average income earners are around 80,000, and it was about how much you could afford 2021 based on a salary of 80. Yeah. Versus now. So it absolutely broke the internet.
You say just massive influence on society?
Massive influence. Yep.
Well, you may not remember this, but in...
Bloody antagonist.
In 2021, 26th of April, so Tommy, I don't know what that episode that was, but it was pretty early days. Marty stated that people should seriously consider renovating their homes instead of incurring transaction costs to move. So I'm not sure if you remember the episode. We were talking about needing bigger homes. You said, don't move. Everyone should renovate.
Yeah.
So this was 2021. So what we saw in 2022 was $12.3 billion in Australia go into the renovation market in Australia. So that's an annual increase of 34%. Mm-hmm. So Marty comes out in 2021 and says, don't move, renovate. 2022, there's a 34% increase in people renovating in this country. And then what we've seen since then is an absolute frenzy in renovations only just dying down now. So I think Marty, round of applause, single-handedly has really
moved the market.
Really bolstered the renovation market for the last 4 years.
I'm glad
the influence this man has.
I'm glad you... We only had 38 listeners back then too, so that's an extraordinary result. But... again, I think with that sort of prediction, I think it just made logical sense given where we were at. So, but you picked out one prediction that went well over 200 episodes, so I really appreciate that, Nick.
Well, it's not a prediction. I think you made it come true. It's the people taking your advice.
It's a bit bit magical.
And you look at the data of everyone watching the Will Melbourne property prices boom. In a year's time when Melbourne prices are up 30%, Nick's going to be sitting here with a bit of a head wobble doing the same thing.
So the sniggers of only two rate cuts that we just had before. I've got some runs on the board.
Yeah, Nick, you got a prediction for rates?
Definitely going down. I think we'll get... Over the next, in 2025 calendar year, I think we'll get 1%. And I think it'll start late this year.
Nice.
There you go.
Yep.
Macy's saying no again.
Yeah.
Mate, we're about bold predictions here.
I'm going to go with nothing.
Putting it out there.
Nothing until June 25.
Yeah.
I think the pain they just what they've got wrong is they think, or my just going to say it, they think that this rate increase has made an impact on inflation. I sit there and go, like what Macy probably thinks, all the baby boomers that are retiring are cashed up. They're getting their super. They own their homes that they bought in the 80s or 90s for $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. They'll pay it off. They're cashed up. So when you increase rates, they got more interest income. They got more money to spend. So the rate rises haven't actually stopped people from spending money. So inflation's not going to be impacted. But the RBA sit there going, these rates being high are doing a great thing. We're going to curb inflation. So they're just going to sit on it and hold. I don't think they got the balls for another rate rise to really inflict the pain. If they really wanted to, put us in recession, inflict the pain. They won't. They'll just hold.
Did you pick up anything in the US? Because there was talk that they were going into recession.
Have you spoken to my doctor?
That's why you're scratching. but it's
even worse when your wife's in the audience when you crack a joke like that. She usually doesn't listen to the podcast, so I can get away with those jokes. But no, sorry, Marty.
But they're predicting 0.5% drop in September, and then New Zealand have come back 0.25%. People are not buying chickens. People are not buying McDonald's. You know, the consumer is holding back their spending.
Yeah.
So what makes you think that, like, I think we'll get a really rough Christmas where, you know, people are struggling and the everyday person is certainly feeling it. But what makes you think that extended period to June, I think there's some hardship earlier, but...
I just think there's a disconnect between what's happening at RBA land versus the real people on the ground in Australia. So
you're thinking the hindsight data won't get through to it.
Yeah, and I think that is that delay in data where we get through from now to Christmas, you know, the travel, the spend, the credit card debt, the default rate. There's all delayed data that they work on what was happening a couple of months ago and they make their decisions. So, yeah, I think, yeah, I don't know. June 25 for me, maybe a little bit earlier, and the influencer Marty will get it right. But
that's very pessimistic.
Yeah. I think.
Anyway, we'll see.
Well,
we can always go back, spend recorded.
What do you think, Jace? What's your prediction for next year in regards to, have you got a bold prediction for 2025?
Yeah, I already said it. The Bombers won't win a final.
Mate,
no,
you've
got
to be better than that.
No. I think.
Anything serious?
What's that?
Anything serious? Point bring the Bombers. Like,
No. To be honest, look, the week in Nashville last week, a guy from OpenAI, he'd finished up, and I know I did AI last time, but since we're allowed to roll with the same stuff as last time, I'm going to bring it back. But I've got something behind as to why. So OpenAI, he worked there when Elon Musk was there, talked about the ethical issues and things going on in the background, but he also shared this whole bunch of data, which I can send through some stuff and maybe chuck it on the show notes for some links, but it was around the power of AI, how fast it's happened between November 21 and where we are today. And just, you know, you imagine when the first car came out versus the car technology where we are today. We're talking 60, 70, you know, long, long time before the technology got to the increase where we are now. AI, yes, it's been around for 10, 14, 20 years, but the generative AI that's available publicly, how fast that has got better and better. We've never seen any product launch that has grown as exponentially as it has and then got smarter and better. So he talked about where we're at with AI and how it's going to impact businesses. So I sat there going, I still think, you know, from a delay point of view of business owners embracing AI and the general public, it's the bit now where it starts to get embedded and built into everything we use anyway. You know, our phone operating system, our cars, you know, our computers at work. There's just going to be more and more capability of AI getting turned on at all times to where we're not going to be able to ignore it because it's just going to become second nature again. You know, sometimes you drive from A to B and you don't remember how you got there. Soon we'll be using AI in the same way where it's a part of something that we use. And it's just going to feel natural and normal that instead of typing something out, we will talk to our assistant that we'll be able to do a whole bunch of functionality. And that comes down to, it's called an agent. There's an agent that can do things on your behalf where, you know, for example, you know, Xero's talked about a new bit of software called Just Ask Xero, or Jax is the nickname. And that will be, you know, from WhatsApp, you could message your Xero file and say, raise an invoice and send it to Marty. And the AI will get in, raise an invoice. You'll give it a description. Might say, what's the invoice for? It'll be, you know, my time appearing on the Numbers Game show. Thanks, guys. And then you get the invoice. So all without you logging into your Xero file. You know, so think about that's a basic example in accounting land. But soon, if that's going to come out in your Xero file, think about just how all these little things continue to get turned on where it's just going to become second nature. So
I think so. Yeah, that's a good way of explaining it.
Yeah.
Just think about how many times I log into Xero every day.
Yeah. Well, imagine when you don't have to. You can just go, you know, I mean, look, this is a future world like that, but it's like run payroll. It's the same as last month. Nothing's changed. And I approve the payment to superannuation. And boom, 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 all that stuff just goes. You could be on a beach somewhere sipping a pina colada and you haven't had to log into your laptop or your phone. You're just talking direct through the device, whether it's, And I guess the thought process for them as well is going, where are people spending their time? I'll ditch that for a second. And what they talked about as well is the rise of mobile. So if we're talking predictions beyond AI, if you think about a business owner, I mean, we work on computers with accounting, finance, you know, financial planning, mortgage broking, day to day, we're used to being on a computer. But when you think about how much time people spend on their phones, the better phones become at being able to do the tasks that we think we need a computer for. And then what they kind of got us to think about is the tradie or the people out there who aren't on their computers all day, every day. I think we forget there's a world where people aren't attached to a computer, but their ability to be able to use a phone for everything that they need to be able to do. So, you know, we've got things we'll send to a client, like a checklist, and they go, oh, got to go home after 5, open up the computer, download a statement, do this, send it to my accountant. There's a world coming soon where the phone has the capability to do everything you think you need a desktop for. And not just over there, it's also voice activated to be able to do what, you know, you can do on a desktop. So there's a bit of a thought process around, if I don't need to log into my computer and use my laptop and I can talk to my phone to do everything, how much more are we using our phones? And then also, you know, we've talked about it going, what's the negative side of that, where if we're attached to our phones all day again, which was the second speaker that I raved about over in Nashville. So they opened with the AI and they closed with Dr. Saunders, who talked about rest and restorative health. But looking down like that, the pressure on the neck and the damage being done to people's neck and back issues because we're on our phones like this all day, every day.
Yeah, not to mention children, you know, not getting out and about. But it reminds me, like back in 2000, they talked about the internet coming through and they said, yeah, you got to go with it or it goes without you. And they said, oh, look, it's going to cost people jobs because of the fact that, yeah, we're going to be able to do so much online now. But in the end, people ended up just working harder. We just had, you know, technology to use. Whereas I think with this is like, that was the evolution. I think this is now the revolution, where like the industrial age coming through in the 20s when I was only young, compared to like nowadays, I think we won't recognize what business looks like in about 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing, we have to adapt with it. But maybe, just maybe, with all that technical and digital capability, maybe we get back to connecting with people at a different level as well, because that's what's going to be important as advisors, consultants, as people in general, because we've lost a bit of that just with mindless scrolling. So I think if they can get that balance right, we get more time back doing the things we really enjoy as human beings, then that could be a good thing. But it has to be monitored really carefully.
Time. So I've just brought up a picture from the conference. It was around time. So the one thing that we have a finite amount of in our lives is time. You know, we've got a set amount of time on the planet, and then we have to choose how to spend our time wisely. So his whole presentation ended up being around, if we do have this capability to make our lives, you know, easier, more efficient, better, if something else is doing some of the tasks that we weren't anymore, we get back time. And then when we choose how to use that time, that becomes a really important aspect of that.
But how do you explain then the last 10 years when we've lost a lot of time, but we're so much more efficient?
Are we efficient though? Because that's that productivity thing, the episode we talked about.
We're more efficient than what we were. And see hypothetically, back then we were more connected, like to other people, but things were so inefficient.
So what they're talking about now is that we think we're more efficient, but we're more distracted and less efficient in realistic, you know, you're doing a task, but your phone goes off, you get an email, you get a phone call, the task that if you were just focusing on that one task, you'd do so much faster. But we live in a distracted world now where there's so many things going on that we don't actually focus on doing one thing at a time. And we're not wired to be multitaskers. We think we can multitask, but we definitely can't.
Not even the females?
Yeah, well, there was a few heads shaking in the room. Some are better than others. You know, and some of the things that I liked, you know, design your life and work around things that AI cannot do. So in a world where people are talking about, oh, you know, AI is going to take this or AI might take my job, that's fine. But it's all about thinking ahead to go, well, if AI is going to change what I do. So if I'm a bookkeeper and I reconcile Xero files, there's a world where that doesn't happen anymore because the technology is going to get in and reconcile it for you. You create an AI agent, you tell it to reconcile things to certain areas in the books. It's not going to happen anymore. So if you think, design my life around the work that AI can't do. So then that's, you know, your challenge now, the people out there and us, is to go, well, think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ahead, as we do. We like our business planning and our strategy sessions. That was, you know, that's our next challenge as AI becomes more and more prevalent in the work that we do. And optimize for human skills, optimize for humanistic qualities and skills. Human. So it's all going to come back to, how do we connect with humans more? If AI is doing everything in the background, the most valuable thing we're going to have is the ability to have a great relationship with someone and trade that off as a value.
Yeah, that presents a lot of hope, actually, because I think we've certainly we've lost that with the technology that's come in, even though we've been more efficient. And like living in the 80s and 90s, yep, there were no mobile phones. You really had to engage with people and your network was actually physical. You know, you had a physical network. And so I think I loved it when technology came in because it would make us more efficient. So I was happy with that. But I really feel like we've almost lost ourselves as people in that coming in. So if we can get that balance right, and like you said, we're engaging as people, maybe as advisors, as friends, as family, then we've got this back end that's working really, really well for us, that we're sort of the orchestra of our own show all of a sudden, as opposed to being intertwined with it. So it's, so I'm interested to see how it happens, but I would like that to happen because that's sort of a coming together of all worlds that I understand.
The challenge still remains on how do you choose then to spend your time, because do we not then just fall into the trap of still wanting to do more and more of the wrong thing? You know, instead of connecting with humans again. So we still need to make the choice that we want to utilize our time in the right way, or that time that we've saved, because the reality is now you could do that now.
Yep.
Because we are more efficient than we were 15 years ago, but people choose to just do more all the time. So you've still got that issue of, well, how do you want to spend your time, and are you spending in the right way? But yeah, I agree. Like, if you can give yourself the opportunity to make the choice, and hopefully we make the right choice.
It might be about, you know, if you're still going to spend that time anyway, because we're inherently wired to spend our time doing something, you know, chase that next goal. It'll be about then the trade-off of what was the thing I really loved doing with my time? How do I do more of that? Like right now, I might be doing tasks that, you know, it's not really the best use of my time, but I've got to do it because, you know, I haven't automated it yet, or I haven't found a way to get AI to do it. But at some point in the future when that happens, I'll spend more time with my business partner, with my team, with my wife. You know, the people, the human side of spending time with people that I really enjoy doing, even if that still is work-related and doing, you know, the value-add tasks with clients. But by getting on the phone to them and having a chat to them, none of this... face mask.
You AI can follow your curiosities in a more accelerated manner, I feel. Like, I feel like, you know, whatever you want to do, you're going to have an accelerated pathway to execute on. So I think that's healthy. And like you said, it's the thing that, you know, we've talked about at home too, is going, we can't have two people sitting on the couch texting each other in a relationship.
It's not okay to flick through reels and then send the reel.
And it's not even look at this anymore, like showing the phone across. It's just then sending it.
The best part is then when you can tell your wife sent you a reel and you're sitting there going, you don't really find it funny, but you can see that the pressure's on, that you need to react.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're in trouble.
That's just the laugh.
And then you get the question, have you watched that yet? It's like, yeah.
Have you ever got the reel twice?
Yeah.
And then you go back and like the first one?
I've sent the reel that I've already received back to said person in the audience, and copped a bit of stripe.
But that's
that.
The thing, and I've said it in previous episodes. If it's getting to the point where you have to switch your phone off to make an appointment with a loved one, that's not right. You have to physically put your phone away so you don't jump on it as a thing instead of having human connection. Like that, to me, coming out of, you know, the generations I've come out of, just seems almost crazy, but I'm doing it right. And so are the kids, and I think it's good, because well-being, mental health is such a big topic of conversation at the moment. Like, we talk about getting more human, and I think people and young people are aware of that. So I think there's going to be a shift in mentality around it. And we'll still, Nick brought up a good point. You're going, if we get more time, are we going to utilize that effectively? But that's like a changing of a habit, you know, and that's a habit we all have to get to changing at some point in time. And yep. I think it'll be really healthy to do that.
Do you want to go into, I've already had a bit of a glimpse of what's happening, so I might turn the subject. No.
I've got one more rewind.
You got a prediction?
Yeah, it's a serious one though. So
you want to do that first? Go on. Give it to me.
You're the host.
Give it to me.
I'm just in the middle because of the hype thing. But
I've looked ahead and seen what Nick's prepared to continue.
Well, Tommy asked me to go back and bring a couple of things, you know, into the future. So, I'm not picking on you, but I don't know. Like, this guy breaks the internet, so it's hard to pick on him.
It's true. And he's actually funny.
Like, that's
pretty interesting.
You guys just.
So, some interesting information. So, Jace's first share purchases, he took us through in 2021. Does anyone remember what they are? Macy?
I can't remember.
Can't remember? First one was Hills Hoist.
Clothesline.
Second one was Meyer.
I must have been having a lot of fun at university.
So I just thought we'd get an update on the share prices just so you could see. Do you still have them? What I wasn't sure. Okay. No. Maybe you should have kept one of them.
Meyer.
So Meyer originally purchased for $3 per share.
Yep.
In 2021, it was 30 cents.
Sold for
worth 80 cents now. So you held them to 30 and then sold them?
That hurts.
Okay, worth 80 now.
Yeah.
But opportunity costs, no doubt you've probably turned that 30 cents into 80 cents in other areas.
Yep.
So don't stress.
Thanks to zero.
Hills Hoist purchased for $3 to $4 per share. Let's assume three. In 2021, they were worth 14 cents. Today, they are worth 2 cents. But the big one, the one that really hurts.
There's more?
And the one that got away. So for anyone that doesn't know, am I allowed to say this?
Yeah.
You're going to make him.
Well, they're not listed, are they? They're not listed because I couldn't find their valuation.
They're not listed. We don't have to talk valuations, but we can talk what I could have got in at.
Well, I Googled the valuation.
Go for it.
Yeah, so.
This is a valuable lesson in, you know, life will throw you opportunities.
Yes.
Don't buy a racehorse.
Yes.
But go on.
So for those that don't know, and I'm not sure if you can disclose what you could have got in at, but Jace was offered to be one of the first investors in Mr. Yum. For anyone who doesn't know what Mr. Yum is, it's, you know, scan the QR code,
order at your table, and then COVID came along.
Ugh. Yeah. So Jay said, stupid idea, that'll never go anywhere.
No.
First, explain it to me.
For context and clarity, the MVP of the product was QR code on a menu. So it was pitched around the idea of you go to a restaurant and you read the menu. And your friend orders the smashed avo and you order chili scrambled eggs, but the smashed avo comes out, it looks phenomenal. And you wished you could have seen how good it looked before you ordered your chili scrambled eggs that you love. So the idea was you scan the QR code, it'll pop up a picture menu if the restaurant didn't already have a picture menu. Cool, you can order the smashed avo because it looks great and win. So I sat there going, as an accountant, not that creative about how we then turn that into, you know, the pictures are cool, but...
It makes me want to invest, to be blatantly honest.
No. I was about to back him up and say, I wouldn't have went near it. So I'm actually with you here.
Yeah.
So you don't
know what you don't know.
Mr. Yum asks for an investment, really just a startup. So you could pretty much say valuation zero.
Yeah. Yeah. This was like product didn't exist. It was an idea.
Does anyone have a clue what Mr. Yum is worth roughly today?
I do.
So it was very hard to find their valuation, because they're not listed. But, my estimate is they're worth around $300 million now at a guess. They acquired Me and You, who was probably one of their biggest competitors.
Yeah, it's kind of a merger. Yeah.
But this is the real kicker. I'm not sure if you know this.
Should be.
I didn't know this until I started researching yesterday. But Mr. Yum have been selected in a state government program called Launch.
Yeah.
And
I do know. What? Just buried that deep in dark.
He's going to have a stroke, Nick.
So
I was only going to have one beer, but it might turn into 10 at this rate.
What the launch program is looking to do is find 30 startups in Victoria. And by 2030, they want to take 30 startups to a valuation of $1 billion.
Oh, is that all?
So I'm not sure how much of Mr. Yum you could have taken from a percentage point of view.
I'll never tell you.
You would never tell us? Case, didn't know. But anyway, I thought that was interesting.
I was just saying, it would be life-changing. We'll put it at that.
Okay. Well, again, I can say I wouldn't have invested at the time. Who knew that we were going to have a pandemic and what was going to happened?
And to Kim and Adrian, if it ever gets to Kim and Adrian, great job. Love what you've done and stoked for you guys.
Absolutely. And Jace, and for our audience, if you could share what you're not investing in now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just so we can jump on board.
I would be. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll make that a whole, the whole follow up episode. Maybe I'll start taking down notes between now and episode 250 or 300. It'll be all the things I didn't invest in that then ended up blowing up.
We've all done it. We've all done it one way, shape, or form.
That's it. I'm done. And Marty's full of shit, really. Because he said he would invest in it, but he's never invested in anything but Charlie Munger. So, and mind you, it was a really good move, but he would never have touched Mr.
I wouldn't
have either.
So I wouldn't have, mate.
Don't feel so bad.
Yeah, absolutely not.
No. It's just a cool story.
Yeah.
I bought a little bit of NVIDIA and I'm stressing because the results come out on the 28th and I think there goes my $1 that I put in or $2. Very conservative.
Anyway.
Well, to give you a break, Nick, have we heard your prediction, Marty?
On what?
The next year, 2025 and beyond, just the general. Like mine was the continued rise of AI and how it will sneak into our lives in the ways that we don't actually expect it to, and we'll just be using it every day.
I think the Victorian state debt will jump from $165 billion to $229 billion. So I think we're in...
So is it still a great time to invest in Victoria?
Yes, because I think Nick's been doing a little bit of, in his prediction, it links in a little bit.
This could be bold, and I think Marty's right with his prediction. I think Victoria's going to get a big chop out from federal government in the next year or so. They already had a small one, which was the GST allocation, which you'd be across. But
which WA absolutely hates that, by the way.
What happened there? I didn't.
WA basically want to split off and be a separate country. That's how much they hate the allocation of basically they collect a whole bunch of GST income from WA and a whole bunch of everything else, and then at federal level they go, oh, where are we going to give this? New South Wales, Victoria, every time get the biggest slice of the pie, and WA sits over there cracking the sads, going, well, why are we contributing to?
They're also lucky that they happen to be where they are, despite chance.
Yeah.
But why is WA? Because
have we got any listeners in WA?
We do have a WA listener. Anyway, Victoria needs a catalyst. It's not going to turn around organically.
Mm-hmm.
Just the debt is too high. And I think New South Wales debt's actually higher, but we're 25% smaller than New South Wales from a population point of view. So... they need Victoria to grow. And it's not going to happen organically. Something needs to change. So I think there'll be some kind of boost from federal government, cash-wise, however they make that happen. It'll get us back on track.
Good predictions. I like it. One of your recent predictions in an earlier episode was Donald Trump being back in power. You want to make a call on the US election?
I still think he's going to win. I think... attempted assassination, whether that was or was not.
Did you want to make a call on whether that was real?
I don't think that was real. Okay. No.
Really?
No, I don't. And the reason I don't is
wow.
because we don't know anything about it. And I don't think we'll ever find out what really went on. Okay. So, I don't know. I don't actually believe anything that goes on over there anymore, to be honest.
Fair enough.
No? That's bold. Surely, if you're going to assassinate the president, you can shoot a rifle and hit him. But that's what I don't get.
But yet again, Nick, you're coming from your efficiencies and your confidence.
Yeah.
If you were going to do something like that, not that you ever would, you'd make sure it happened. But not everyone's as good. Yeah. Not everyone's as good.
Yeah. I don't know. I just can't. The whole story, like, it scrapes his ear. It just doesn't seem real. And I think if it was real, we'd know more about it.
Yeah,
but we don't.
If that was me, I'd be dead. 100%. Because just... my head's a bit larger and stuff.
But we'll never know. This is the thing. We'll never know.
Very true. Very true. Mm. No, well, sorry, Marty.
Well, Jason, I was going to say, I changed the tone a little bit here. But over 200 episodes, and not throwing you on the spot, but I'm going, what's some of the more memorable times that you've had in regards to doing a podcast? Because you've never done a podcast before. What have you enjoyed most about the numbers game?
Good question. Look, I think...
So we've been through some times.
Yeah.
You know?
Be careful. He's emotional.
Yeah, lost people, you know, during that time and supported each other.
That definitely was, without that being the thing, that was definitely something that I thought, you know, there was only a few episodes at the start where Mum was around, and then all of a sudden there's that journey of, you know, losing Mum and going through all that. So while that's not the point of getting emotional on that, life goes by so fast, but the podcast has given the ability to go back and get all these weird little snapshots in time, completely, you know, not taking it from Mum passing to something silly, but, you know, I read something about in the notes, Nick staining his deck every year, you know, it comes out of winter,
again.
You know, yep. So that one of my questions was when's the annual deck staining happening at Nick's place? So
very soon.
No, and that's not the one I'm going to go with. Look, I think over the journey, there's not that many guest episodes. So I think in the 200, you know, what we've been able to do is our own consistency of getting in a room and sharing content with each other, where I feel like what I've learned over 3 years from spending time with both of you has made me a totally different business owner, partner, family member to the rest of my family. Like I've changed as a person through the time I get to spend with you guys in a room.
And I think your authenticity is remarkable. Like just you have a kind nature. You're very good at what you do. But just even talking about, you know, spending up on credit cards in the early days and things and actually sharing that with the audience. Like at the end of the day, we're all people. We all have highlight reels. We all make mistakes. And that is life. We lose people we love. We find people we love. Mm. And that's, that's life. And to get to share that in a group setting has been remarkable. And even to share that with the audience, that's not always easy to do.
Yeah.
So I think... I think people get a lot of value out of that, Jace. And
I think one of the other things beyond that, and I'm just trying to find the text that came through yesterday that was random, but beyond the guest episode stuff as well, like I think because guest episodes are quite limited, there's that ability to sit in a room with somebody else and just pick away at their life or their journey and take that in. You know, Clementine recently was great. Way back to Tom Boyd talking about mental health and the post-footy career. They're, you know, journeys and stories that, you know, it's quite a privilege to sit in a room with someone and have them actually feel like they want to be on the podcast with us. I also do enjoy listening to the episodes where I haven't been on and get to hear you guys rip into me about being late and now it'll be about what I'm wearing. As a side bit of funny, you know, Case was saying that she enjoyed finding out about the cat vomit off the podcast episode rather than me telling her about the vomit that was under the table.
But I still remember, even before the podcast, you and Greg, which is Jace's business partner, sitting in the boardroom talking about going into business. And again, you hear a lot of people and you see a lot of people in life talk up a big game, but for you to then go and execute as you have in your business, and no doubt, like all of us, there's challenges that you have to work through. People leave, people come again, but it's remarkable what you've done with Future Advisor, and you and Greg and the team should be very, very proud, because that is a quick rise in regards to what you've done. You've been very bullish, but obviously delivering a great service to clients consistently to have that impact. So well done to you, man. I know we're unroasting you. Unroasting you a little bit we'll get back to roasting.
Looks uncomfortable,
but
I've gone from uncomfortable at the start to, you know.
Yeah, and like I said, we all make investment mistakes personally, and we all, some more than others, of course. but again, these are things that happen, but just well done, mate. Really,
thank you.
Fantastic effort on
thank
your business.
Thank you. I missed it at the start, but we are recording this episode with some people in the room that we love and adore. And, you know, again, I wouldn't get to do this without Greg, who's up the back there. Again, think back to when this show started. Greg had ran for maybe 200 days straight. He'd maybe lost his first couple of kilos. And now 3 years on, he's at 1,400 days of running or exercise. He's just lost a further couple of kilos. I thought he was wasting away today when I saw him. He's dropped some weight. And
I thought it was a mic stand.
Yeah.
it's Greg.
Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, that journey, this stuff doesn't happen without the support of, you know, loved ones, business partners,
absolutely,
our teams. You know, and also the support of you guys. So thank you to both of you for showing up and continuing. I mean, I think, I don't know whether I called you with this idea of throwing a podcast together, but the ultimate thing overall was we wanted to help people, you know, that there was this purpose or passion behind it, that go, if we can get some value ourselves in the room of sharing ideas and learning, but also share that with not just our clients, but anyone in the audience who can listen. I've had a great conversation with some guys the other day. They're in country New South Wales. This guy who goes out running at 5 a.m. before he starts work listens to the Numbers Game every week, and they've got a business transaction going on, and the first person they thought to call was Future Advisory, not their accountant. They go, you know, we don't think our accountant's equipped, but we've listened to the way you go about it on the podcast. Yeah. We called you. So there's these really cool moments that through consistency and doing this, you know, for 200 episodes or 3 years.
You become a part of people's business lives.
We could easily have pulled up stumps at 50 and gone, you know, even though I was still talking about episode 200 back at 50 and wanted to raise the fake bat that I didn't bring in, but we could have. And we could have stopped and missed out on all the stuff that's happened now recently, but there's still a whole journey to come between, you know, 200 and 300. And this is just a random one yesterday, but out of nowhere, this guy didn't know. I mean, he might've been listening to 198, 199. And he goes, not sure if I've told you, but I love listening to the Numbers Game. It's so informative and helpful. Episode 200 around the corner. How exciting, mate. Well done to you and the boys.
Yeah, how good's that?
And it's just, you know, and there's a couple of examples of that. You know, the reviews, if we've ever go into Apple Podcasts or Spotify and read what people write, like there is people out there that actually are getting a lot of value. Not that we don't believe that people get value, but sometimes I think we might walk away and go, well, I hope that was good. I hope somebody likes it.
Even the homeschooling episode with Charlie, when I went through that, like I had many people reach out and give me resources as to what to do. That was amazing. Yeah. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, literally floored me.
Yeah, and you may remember Nathan Theos, who was a guest. He'd just gone into business. He would have been one of our first guests, I think. And we also brought John Pearl on.
Yep.
So what I can tell you, I don't think you know this, but those two are working together now.
Yeah. Yep.
And really good results. So that's two people we've brought together.
Yeah.
For me, just listen to what you said around learning, like, I've learnt so much in the last 3 or 4 years. And I remember when we started doing this, the content was a bit of a drag. I was like, oh, shit, I've got to find some content. And then we used to have conversations all the time. Is it worth it? You know, should we be doing it? But I think now it's actually become a really important part of our week or our month.
Yep.
Because of what we learn. And I don't even try and get content anymore, really. Yep. Like, I just think of something to come and talk about, and it just becomes easier and easier. And it almost becomes like a therapy session, to be honest.
Yeah.
And we kind of walk away from the podcast feeling good because, you know, we've blurted out our problems to you, and whether it's about business, but at the same time, we get to help people. So for me, I think I've definitely learned so much from finding content, and then also just coming and talking to you about what you're finding, because Marty and I talk all day, but we don't get exposure, you know, to what you're saying. So
now you're right about the therapy session, though. And I did look back at the early couple of episodes where it was very structured around, you know, reading the play. We had to go find an article, and then it was losing it, which I do miss that segment. So maybe we bring back losing it, because Marty could always come in and just go, oh, I'm losing it. This is going on. And yeah, I think the first one was about coffee prices or something, but you know,
lost it.
Really. Officially lost it, and then there was the 1%. So while in theory, like all of that, that's a really cool structure and it worked. But now the way we kind of roll in, get into it, rip into Marty mostly for his big head not being able to get through the office. I don't know if you've heard that episode yet, but that'll be coming out soon.
I haven't heard it yet, but I know what to expect.
So I deserve
a lot of ageist jokes.
Everything I copped today. Weekly. I deserved off the back of what we said about you in some of the upcoming episodes. So, you know, that's
what excites me. The future is always, you know, interesting. So, but no, it's been a tremendous journey, because again, I learned so much through, because again, coming from a different generation, again, it's like I'm learning so much from Nick, you know, yourself, Jace as well. as I do from the younger people in the teams as well, because it's a whole different dynamic. So for me, every day I get to learn more as a 52-year-old that's been around forever and a day, but it's exhilarating. And that's the thing. I hope when I'm 82, I'm still in these type of environments having fun and getting to roast Jason occasionally. Yeah, it's all up from here. But it's been an absolute pleasure, and it's I've really enjoyed it. You know, more so than the Marty Vidge show, even though that was great. This was real fun.
Well, I still think we should consider rebranding the Marty Vidge show, just given that all of the good stuff that happens on socials, it's all about Marty Vidge. So, you know, there's serious consideration there.
I think that you're being very, very kind. I think it just resonated with 300,000 people on one post, on one post.
374,000 at last check. Is that what it's up to? Yeah.
Jeez, and I went to reply to every comment.
It's him you didn't know.
Well, he knew.
He was testing us to see if we're still
looking. At 300,000, I thought, do I take a photo and send it to him? And then I go, no. But that's pretty cool. But I started commenting to every comment, and I'm going, just got out of control, so I stopped.
If you've listened to some episodes and you're not on Instagram and you're wondering what we're talking about, all the way up to the 200th, go to Instagram. I think it's the third pinned post at the top. Get him a few more views, because obviously it fuels this big ego of Marty's and that big head of his. So,
and my looks, are declining. You guys are in your prime, and my looks are just going downscale now over 50. So, you know, it's good for my ego. So, keep liking.
I actually tried to do the photo thing that Nick did, but Nick looks identical for 3 years.
He doesn't age.
He's beautiful. It's ridiculous.
I'm going to give you some credit here. If you look, I just think maybe it's just the whole lumberjack thing that let you down, but there's not that much difference. I would say there's hardly any difference. Case? I know you see him every day, but...
Pretty good.
So, well done, you.
All right, thank you.
And if you put my picture up again, it looks like a different person.
The AI picture.
Look, in nature of, we're getting to a certain point in the show where I have to stop these two from rambling on and I do the big wrap up. But again, huge thank you from the bottom of our hearts to everyone who supported the numbers game and listened. Look, I won't get emotional, but there's a verge of some stuff going on here. I love you guys. I love what we do here. I love our listeners, our audience, and the people who have supported us. And that extends beyond the numbers game. Again, Future Advisory, Innovate, VidPod, and even Dashboard Insights, who came on board as a sponsor. So, you know, we've got another, you know, hundreds of episodes ahead. If you have listened along the journey and you think, look, I want to get involved, we are open to people reaching out to Nick, Marty, and I. Instagram page, LinkedIn, wherever you find us, wherever you get your podcast from, and even YouTube. I won't go into the stats now. We can do that another time. But, you know, YouTube is a huge growing platform for us. We've had thousands of hours of people watching the content on there as well, which I think is a really big opportunity. And again, this has been a learning curve for us to learn all these different things. So that's, we're probably at 120 hours of content now. I had somebody total up the total episode time of what's available for people to catch up. So if you haven't gone through it all, it'll take 5 days with no sleep to go through all 200 episodes. I don't recommend it, but there you go. So thank you very much. Like, subscribe, follow. Until next time.
Jace, love you. Nick, love you. Our audience, love you too. Road to 300. Game over.
This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The conversations are of a general nature and do not qualify as financial or tax advice. We recommend before you make any financial decisions, you consult a licensed professional. Individuals on the podcast may hold positions in the companies discussed.